Let's open up with a word of prayer and let's get to the message here. Lord, we again thank you for today. We thank you for Easter and what it represents. It represents your resurrection, Lord, and it represents your death, burial, and resurrection. That is the gospel message. I pray, Lord, that you would give me the words that you want me to speak today and that you would be with us, Lord, and help us to enjoy our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 20. John chapter 20 here. And the title of the message is, I Must See Jesus. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. It says here, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie in the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Notice here in verse 11 it says, though, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. I'm going to stop there for just a second. So you see this picture here of what is going on is that Mary Magdalene, this is after Christ has died on the cross. He's been buried, and now she's going back to the tomb, and she notices that the stone is rolled away and that the stone is empty, or that the tomb is empty. And so then she runs and she tells Peter and John. And John and Peter, they start running. And of course, Peter's a little older, it sounds like to me. Probably has less hair, amen. A little bit more ass shape, kind of like me. You know, just kind of like a breakfast sausage running down the road. Huh? Yeah. So anyway, here's these two fellas. They're running down the road. They go to the tomb, and they notice that the linen clothes there, the wrappings are laying there, and the napkins over in the corner. It's folded nice and neat. And, of course, Peter just bum rushes into there and sees that it's empty. And then John says, yeah, I guess I can go in there too. And what was interesting is I've read this passage, I've studied this passage, and I thought, well, this is very interesting. The thing that caught my attention was what Mary did, though. And so the first point in my message is that I must have Jesus. I must have Jesus. You know, notice, first of all, that Mary lingered and wept. The other disciples, Peter and John, they ran in there and said, oh, man. John believed, I believe Peter also did, but the Bible, the scriptures in this passage here doesn't tell us that. They ran immediately back to their home and back to their place. And I'll tell you why, is because they were in great fear. They were desperate. Their leader had just been killed, and now they don't know if he has been kidnapped or if he's risen from the dead. His body's been kidnapped. It wasn't kidnapped, was it? He rose from the dead, didn't he? It's interesting that, these fellas hung out with the Lord Jesus Christ all the way through his ministry, and yet some of them had to sit there and still scratch their head and go, what happened? You know, a lot of Christians are going to be like that. Huh? Yeah. You'll be like that. But notice here, Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. You know, so then what was interesting about that, what caught my eye was that, number one, as in my own life as a believer, do I linger for the Lord? Do I weep when I don't see God? When I don't hear from God? Notice here, Mary looked for the Lord, didn't she? And what was interesting is as I read that, I said, you know, she's actively looking for the Lord. And so one of the questions I asked myself was, is that, God, do I look for you? Right? Now, am I looking for him because he's risen? It's a rhetorical question because we know he's risen. It's a fact. Right? Jesus Christ is the only hope that I have. But notice here is that she was looking for the Lord. Many of us, even as born-again Christians, I would say that we do not actively seek for the Lord. She was wondering where the Lord's at. Have you ever sat there in your morning devotions and sat there and said, and read your Bible and then it just felt like there was nothing there? Well, but did you pause long enough? Did you linger maybe enough to sit there and say, God, where are you? And some of you is kind of staring at me like I've grown two heads. And I'll tell you why, because either number one is that you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't understand that it is a personal relationship between you and God. Or number two is that you're just like me. We struggle to read our Bible every morning. Amen? Yeah. And what's interesting is that she wept. She looked for the Lord. She was looking for the Lord. I'm telling you, what is going to add to your success as a Christian is that if you take and pause for a moment every day and look for God. One of the greatest teachers I ever had, and I am not a theologian, I am just a simple man who reads the Bible. I had one teacher, though, he taught me one critical thing, is to look for Jesus in every passage of Scripture. Why? Because he's there. That's why I read the Scriptures. Isn't it? I don't read the Scriptures to fulfill a quota. I don't read because it's my Christian duty. I just saw Mr. Bud there. Good to see you this morning, sir. I do it because I'm looking for the Lord because I'm missing him. You know, many of us, we don't know it, but we're missing something in life. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not only having established a relationship, right, with God through our salvation. At that moment of salvation, we said, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I am on my way to hell. I must have Jesus Christ as my Savior in order to spend an eternity with God. God, help me. Please save me. At that moment, you were reborn. That's what John chapter 3 tells us, is that we were reborn. Amen. And so we were reborn through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, his shed blood, right, which covers our sin and makes a way for us to spend an eternity with him forever. That is that one moment, that one decision that you made for Christ, you then entered into a relationship, an eternal relationship with God. You are reborn. And that is the same as being physically born. Amen? And that's what, and we notice in the prior passage, in the prior chapter here, is that guess who showed up to help bury the Lord Jesus Christ's body? It was one of the fellows was Nicodemus, wasn't it? And Nicodemus and Jesus had a full conversation at nighttime, clear back in John chapter 3, right? Yeah, where God said, hey, number one, for you to receive regeneration, in order for you to be saved, number one, you got to be born physically. if you've never been born physically, you ain't got to worry about it. Right? You wouldn't even be here. Number two is that there is a second birth. There is a spiritual birth. So just as your physical birth is permanent, so is your spiritual birth. You cannot unbirth yourself. If you did not birth yourself, you cannot unbirth yourself. Just like we got a little baby granddaughter coming. We're so excited because, we've only had men children. I do have one stepdaughter. And she is kind of this warrior type of lady because she was raised with all these men children, right? And she's warped because, you know, just the way she was raised in the home. I would not want to go to battle with her or my wife. Huh? I thought Marine Corps boot camp was tough. Yeah, just talk to Mrs. Dell. She's whipped me into shape, right? But here's the issue, though, is that you cannot unbirth yourself. You cannot unbirth that spiritual birth. But the point here is that I need the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And because of that relationship, that one moment, that one decision, and putting me into that relationship, now I have to be concerned about the fellowship, though. Right? How much do you fellowship with God? How much do I fellowship with God?
You say, well, you know, God really hasn't done a whole lot for me lately. You know, I'm still broke, not a bazillionaire. Right?
No. No, but here's the thing is that it takes time. It takes investment to have the right type of fellowship. How much time do you spend with God? Do you realize that God says, you're everything to me, and I want to spend all eternity with you? Well, no, wait a second now, God. I got my TV show I'm watching. You know, got Dr. Phil I got to watch, and General Hospital, and whatever else. I'm naming off just what my mother-in-law used to watch, right? Right? I mean, and the Voice, and I mean, all kinds of weird stuff. America's Got Talent. See, if you're from England, you'd say America, right? You don't say America, you say America. That's what I learned from watching those shows with my mother-in-law. But anyway, here's the thing is that Mary was looking for the Lord. Why? Because number one, as she already knew the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior, she wanted a deeper fellowship. She wanted a deeper relationship with God. And if you sit there and say, well, I have as much desire as a rock. Well, I would encourage you to begin to search for God. I would encourage you to begin to purposely spend time with God in His Word. Make God a priority. So that's not what I came here to hear. I wanted to hear about rainbows and unicorns and Easter eggs. Notice, though, Mary's response. Notice Mary's response. She's sitting there. She's weeping. She's almost afraid to look into the tomb because it's like, oh, I can't believe my eyes. I can't believe that he's missing. And she starts to weep, and so then she, for some odd reason, she takes another look into the tomb, and guess what? There's two angels sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet of where the Lord Jesus Christ had been laying. And they asked her the question, why are you weeping? She says, because they've taken away my Lord. Notice what's interesting here, what I also understood. In my deepest, in my darkest hours, in my most desperate situations, there's been a lot of times where I say, where's my Lord? Where is God? Where is God? Well, it's interesting. As soon as she turned around, he was right there with me. Even though there are going to be times in your life where you cannot see the Lord Jesus Christ, and you cannot see out of a situation, yourself coming out of a situation, guess who's there? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And what was interesting is that she turned around and Jesus asked her this question. He says, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for? And she says, I'm looking for my Lord. Have you done something with him? She thought he was the gardener. And then what was interesting is that then what did he say? In verse 16 he said, Jesus saith unto her, Mary, Mary. It's me. And the hair, the little bit of hair I got on the back of my neck, right, stands up. Because there are two moments. There's one major moment in my life where I sat there and I was looking. I was searching for something to fill the hole. And then God said, Rusty, Rusty, quit running. And at that moment I said, Master, Lord Jesus, be the master of my life. And at that moment I knew that I needed a Savior. I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he saved my soul. He has saved me. He said, well, how do you know? I'm telling you, you just know. When you've been birthed, you just know, don't you? I mean, it's pretty evident, isn't it? Yeah. But guess what? To me, in Russell Dill's mind, there's two parts to that. Because not only was that one moment where Jesus Christ called me, but guess what? Because guess what? Russell Dill's a worry wart. I worry. You know why? Because I focus too much on past failures and what? An unknown future that I can't control. Those are the two things that cause worry the most. But, you know, I've had to realize that none of those two things I can't control. Only God can. Only God can. Right? And so there's many times in my life where I just feel like things are out of control and I don't see how things are going to get taken care of. And yet God says, Rusty, what did he tell the Hebrews? When they sat there and their feet were getting licked by the Red Sea, he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Yeah. But it was Mary's response. She sat there and said, Mary, she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father. And guess what? Your Father. Right? Yeah. And to my God and your God. I am now a part of God. Because of my salvation, I now get to have what God has. Right? Right? Yeah, you can say that if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, you could sit there and say, God the Father is my Heavenly Father. Right? And you can go boldly unto the throne. You are no longer separated from God. That's the only thing that separates you from God today is sin. And the penalty for sin. Right? But we saw that picture of the temple, right? And we saw the picture of the veil. The veil was ripped from the top down to the bottom, right? That represented that God's requirement for sin was satisfied. Because in the chapter earlier, what does Jesus Christ say? Right? In verse 30 of chapter 19, he says, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is what? Finished.'" You know, in the Dill House, I can never say that the dishes are finished. They're done for today. Right? And then miraculously, the dishes grow at nighttime, right? It's like everybody gets snacks about 10 o'clock at night, and then there's a bunch of dishes. Terrible. That's probably why I look so plump and happy, right? Number two, I must see Jesus. So I must have Jesus, but I'm here to tell you, as a born-again Christian, there's times where I just got to see Jesus. Now we see here in this chapter that you know what? Faith is saying that I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, even though I have not seen him. But guess what? I need to be able to see him, though. How do I see him? Number one is I see him through the Scriptures. You want to know who God is? Start reading your Bible. Spend time in the Scriptures. Be a student of God's Word. For two major reasons. One is to know who God is. The other one is to know your Bible. Most Christians receive about this much of the Bible, and then they live on that for the rest of their life. Most Christians, believe it or not, are on life support. They're not healthy spiritually because they've just sucked up enough, right, just to live on. God says, "I don't want you to survive. I want you to live." How do I know that? Because he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone." Right? You got to have me also. God just don't want you to survive. He wants you to thrive. You wonder why sometimes you're losing the battle, and maybe by the time you get to my age, you're like, the battle can have itself. Tired. Huh? You want to have victory in your life? Start reading God's Word. You want to have success in your life? I'm not talking monetary gain. I'm not talking about money and boats and everything. By the way, one of my best friends is the Pizza King over there. And then my other best friend is the one that has the big boat over there. And then whoever else. Right? Because I'll never have that kind of boat. Matter of fact, about ready to cry on my boat. Every time I turn around, there's something broke on it. I got to fix it all the time. But I must see Christ through the Scriptures. Number two is I must see Christ through answered prayer. I mean, I'm following a living God. I'm worshiping a living God. I'm seeking after a living God. There's got to be something there that I must see. It's got to be answered prayer. Got to be answered to, I've been praying for that, five-gallon bucket full of $100 bills, and I haven't seen it yet. Well, keep praying. But you know what? I can look back in my own life, and I can see where God has answered prayers. I can look back in my life and I can sit there and say, okay, God, I've got this major situation coming up, and I've seen God work in my life. Now, God doesn't always answer the prayer that I the way I like. And what's interesting, God always takes care of things in the weirdest way. I always sit there and say, okay, God, we got choice A, B, C, and D. Which one are we going to get? God says, probably like Z. Right? Yeah, But I must see the Lord through answered prayers. You must have an active prayer life. You must be actively seeking after God. You must actively make a purpose in your life that you're going to spend time with God in His Scriptures, in His Word. And you must sit there and spend time in prayer with the Lord. How does God talk to us? Through His Word. How do we talk back to God? Through prayer. You ever sat there and read a piece of Scripture? I'll be honest with you. When I sat there and I read verse 16 here in this chapter, I just started crying. This is kind of embarrassing. It's a good thing I was hidden away in my garage. I just started weeping like a big old fat baby over there. Why? Because God had called me. I know what salvation is. And thank the Lord, I worship. I have a risen Savior. That's why Christ rose from the dead. He has power over death, hell, and the grave. That's why we can sit here and not have an excuse. He's given us victory over sin. That's a whole nother message. And I must see Christ through the testimony of others. You know, you always ask yourself, well, why me, God? I love my wife. She's meaner than any drill instructor I've ever had to deal with. She said, well, why not you? Well, yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Huh? Yeah, you know why? God takes you through certain things so that you have patience and that you can help and succor and coddle other people who are going through those same things. Right? I loved my father-in-law. My father-in-law passed away shortly after me and my wife got married. To me, he was the meanest man, but the neatest man. One time I embarrassed him. He was in the hospital. We thought he was going to die. He had this death rattle, and he just kind of, it was not good. And I just got this new job. I just got out of the Marine Corps, and I got this new job, and I said, hey, Dad, I got that. And I saw him in the hospital. I went to go visit him. Hey, I got this new job, and this is what's going on, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm a loud talker, and I get excited. Well, it embarrassed him in the hospital. I didn't know that, but it embarrassed him. And so then I was funny because I'd always call him up, hey, Dad, I would like to come over for dinner. It's not tonight. He banned me from the house for a week because he was so embarrassed. And finally he let me come over. And he said, I want to tell you something. He always had this deep, dark, growly voice. He said, I want you to know something. You embarrassed me at the hospital. That's why I banned you from the house. I said, okay. He said, but it's okay now. You can come over and have dinner. I said, okay, wonderful. Good. Huh? But I love that man because you know what was neat about him was that this man knew how to do everything. Had a general working knowledge of how to do just about anything. And what was interesting is he was a self-made man. And so he never had a regular job. He always just created his own jobs. And so what was interesting, he was very encouraging to me, especially when I first got out of the Marine Corps. Like somebody pulled me upside down and just bashed my head on the concrete, sidewalk. That's how weird it is getting back out of the Marine Corps. It's weird getting into the Marine Corps, and then it gets even more weird getting out. But anyway, he would sit there and say, well, you could do whatever you want. I'm thinking about, starting a business just scrubbing toilets. That's awesome. That's great. We can make a ton of money doing that. Yeah, this is how you do it. You write down this budget here, and this is how many toilets you're going to have to clean, in order to make a profit. And, that's just it. But he was encouraging. When I got done eating dinner and walked out of that house most of the time, I said, yeah. I can do whatever I want. I can scrub as many toilets, but I have to scrub 50 in order to make a profit here in the next week. But you know what? That was a testimony, wasn't it? God brings you through certain things and has you go through certain things. Why? So that you can be a testimony to other people.
that. And you say, well, you know, God's never been good to me. Well, you know,
He don't have to be good to you. Hate to bust your bubble. He don't owe you nothing. You owe Him everything. Sometimes we as Christians get this entitlement mentality. Okay, all right, enough of the politics. Number three, and we're almost done. I can smell the food. Right? I must serve Jesus. I must have Jesus. I must see Jesus. And I must serve Jesus. Look at verse 21. Then said Jesus to them, again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. I have here in my notes, He has sent me. He has sent me. Not necessarily, you know, I'm not a pastor or nothing, but what I'm saying, though, is that He has sent me. I thought this was very interesting, is that here you have these disciples, you have these people that are gathered together, they're afraid of the Jews right now, right? There's probably like the L.A. riots going on, I don't know. I mean, it's total chaos out there. They're in hiding. They don't know what to do. I'll be honest with you. There's been times in my life where I wanted to just hide. Where it's total chaos. Haven't you ever been like that? I mean, life is just so bad, so rough, you just wanted to go and hide. And what was interesting is that Jesus appeared and said, hey, number one, peace. I'm going to give you peace. You want true, lasting peace in your life, in your home, at your work? Put God first. Center your life around God and the things of God. Learn who God is and learn His principles and then apply them. That's why we can sit there and tell you the Scripture is infallible. Why? Because you take the challenge. Do what God says to do in His Word and see how much you fail. Guarantee you ain't. Guarantee you won't. Ain't, I guess, is poor English. Fred's eyes are crossing over there. He's a master teacher, and he's like, no, 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 don't do it like that. Right? But notice, God has sent you here. God has sent you here. Right, see, Kevin's like, what are you talking about? There's a reason Kevin is here in this community, because God sent him here. There's a reason he's a member of this church, because God put him here. See what I'm saying? I mean, you're getting the old, you know, scraps off the floor with Russell Dill here. I mean, you want prime rib? Go to the Sunday school class. But you want fast food, you know, something that only lasts you for a couple hours, come to the morning service. My point is this, though, is that regardless of how well of a job I think I do, God has a purpose for me here. Right? God has a purpose for you. So what's interesting is not only did Jesus Christ save me and given me everlasting life, but then He's also given me a job. I'm here to tell you, if you're looking for that, you know, I just need to know God's purpose in my life. Well, it's about ready to slap you upside the head. God always has something for you to do. I come up here to Alaska not to hide from the law, but just to hide a little bit. And what's interesting is then I end up serving, which I love serving the Lord. Don't get me wrong. But the issue is, though, is that God has given me a purpose. Notice what He did. He said, hey, you guys are all in here in the dark in this room, all huddled together, all scared, darkest hour in your life, and yet God says, hey, I got something for you to do. Right? Yeah. Yeah. So He has sent you. He has sent you. Serve where God puts you. See, there's two things. Number one, Number one, you've got to get serious about your fellowship with God. Number two is you've got to figure out where God wants you to serve. I know that's not popular. Let's get back to the happy rainbows and unicorns. Notice, though, is that I have to be, in order to serve God adequately, I've got to be under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I cannot serve God on my own. I cannot make God priority on my own. Even though I am a born-again Christian, I have been reborn, I still battle with that sin nature, don't I? Until I've been made perfect one day. Thank the Lord for that. Yeah, Mrs. Dill, you will end up with a perfect husband one of these days. Huh? But, well, she always says, well, you're perfect for me. Right? Yeah, that makes me smile too. But the point is this, is that guess what? I got to have the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And not just to preach. Preaching's easy. But to live my life the way that God says I'm supposed to live my life every single day, I've got to be Holy Spirit filled and Holy Spirit led. I'm not talking about drawing a circle around with my piece of chalk and shaking my little chicken foot out and doing the heebie-jeebie. I'm talking about submitting my will to God. I have to be submissive. You know what most Christians have a problem is? It's called problem with authority. Yeah. Most of us have a problem with authority. We don't like to be told what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. But I'm here to tell you, I've learned the hard way that it is better for me to do what I'm told, when I'm told, with the right heart attitude. That's why I wear long sleeve shirts. Right? My wife just... No, just kidding. I'm teasing there. But you know what? What's important is that I do what God tells me to do. You want to have a grand success of life? Grand success as a Christian? Simply just obey God. But I must be under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 22. He says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Christ knew that they couldn't do what he wanted them to do unless they had the Holy Spirit with them. Lastly, I must serve Jesus so that others may believe. Look at verse 29. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have what? Believed. Yeah. I serve Christ. Why? So that others can put their trust in him. So that others go, man, that Russell Dill, he's kind of a weirdo. Talk about the heebie-jeebies. He just kind of freaks me out a little bit. Yeah. But it's so that others may believe. That's why I serve God. I don't serve God because I'm trying to, like I said before, meet a quota because it's my Christian duty. I serve God because I love God. I'm supposed to love God first. And then love my neighbor. You want even more purpose in your life? Love God, put God first, and love others. That's all there is. I know you're all staring at me like Kev staring at Newgate. That's all there is, though, folks. And that's what I saw here with Mary. That's what I saw with her reaction. Number one, she loved God so much that she was weeping when she didn't see him. And number two, she went and told the other fellas. Right? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Yeah. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your scripture. We thank you for your word. I thank you for this Easter Sunday. I pray, dear Lord God, that it would be Easter for us every day. That we would remember what you have done for us in securing our salvation. I pray, Lord, that if there's someone here that does not know you as their Savior, Lord, that they would get it straight today. I pray, dear Lord God, there is no greater hope than knowing that you are my Savior. There's nothing that compares. I pray, dear Lord God, that you would be with us throughout the rest of the day. I pray that you'd be with the prayers, the unspoken prayer requests. I pray that you'd be with grieving families today, dear Lord God, and be with those who are in need of your help today. But let us remember this day that this is about what you have done for us. I pray that you'd continue to bless us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.